910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The death toll, at least 40 from that cross-country storm that spawned dozens of tornadoes and led to wildfires across the South. Here's ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
The National Guard deployed to Arkansas, where an EF3 packing 165-mile-per-hour winds flattened buildings. Bruce Drope rode out the storm.
You can feel the pressure, hear the intensity.
Missouri has the highest death toll, with at least a dozen lives lost, fanning wildfires in Oklahoma, leaving at least four people dead and 400 homes damaged.
President Trump says he will speak with Vladimir Putin tomorrow as the push continues to end the war in Ukraine. The Trump administration deporting hundreds of immigrants to El Salvador, even as a federal judge issues an order temporarily barring that action. The flights were in the air at the time of the ruling. The judge ordered the planes to turn around, which did not happen. The NCAA brackets are out. Men's first games on Thursday, women's day later. This is ABC News. President Trump telling reporters last night that he will hold talks with Vladimir Putin this week by phone, and that an announcement could be coming as soon as Tuesday about Ukraine. Authorities in the Dominican Republic will continue questioning 22-year-old Joshua Reby about the disappearance of University of Pittsburgh college student Shashinka Konanki. He says she was swept away by a giant wave.
ABC News has confirmed Dominican authorities confiscated Reby's passport, making it impossible for him to return to the U.S. until after the investigation is complete. But while police say Reby is only considered a witness to a possible drowning, sources familiar with the investigation claim the lead prosecutor is now examining possible contradictions in his story.
That's ABC's Rhiannon Alley. The March Madness NCAA brackets are out. Auburn, Duke, Houston, and Florida all ranked number one. A record-setting 14 teams from the SEC made the tournament this year. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks get rolled by the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks fell behind early and lost to one of the top teams in the NBA, the Thunder. The final score 121-105. How did the Thunder control the game? Doc Rivers.
They were so much more physical. They definitely came in with intentions tonight and played that way. They played great tonight.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers drew the number 3 seed. They open the NCAA tournament this Thursday in Denver at the Ball Arena, home of the Denver Nuggets. They'll play the number 14 seed, Montana Grizzlies. Marquette is going to the dance again, headed to Cleveland to face New Mexico Friday night.
Excited to be here, happy to be here, and just, you know, excited to see our name called, because it's not particularly like common for a score, a player, a group of guys to go to the tournament for 4 years. We actually like did the percentage research, and it's like the chance of going to the tournament 4 straight years is like 0.1%.
That's Marquette guard Stevie Mitchell with sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A new documentary says We Are Not Alone. The Age of Disclosure premiered at the South by Southwest Film Festival in early March and claims aliens are real and that the government has covered up their existence for the last 80 years. The doc claims non-human biological matter has been collected from spacecraft crash sites. Director Dan Farah interviewed 34 government officials who confirmed some type of extraterrestrial life, but the film does not offer a whole lot of actual proof other than talking heads. No confirmation as as to whether or not people have actually been probed. As promised, I said I would report back when I finished the show Zero Day on Netflix. The six-parter starring Robert De Niro and Joan Allen explores what happens after a massive grid outage that kills over 3,000 Americans. Zero Day has some great moments, but ties everything up a little too neatly at the end. Having said that, De Niro is great. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and warmer today. We'll get to around 54 this afternoon. The wind will be a little breezy this morning, but it should die down by this afternoon. Tonight, 27. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 47 with snow in the afternoon. And again tomorrow night, there could be several inches by the time it winds down on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat Harvey Kay will discuss the capitulation by Senate Democrats on the continuing resolution. Should AOC primary Chuck Schumer? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, March 17th. It's another beautiful day to have you up here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or on the app, or by podcast, or on social media. Thanks for starting your week right here. Got a question for you. Maybe not the one you wanted to start your St. Patrick's Day morning with, but it's from our weekend political newsletter. How are you feeling about the economy? That's the poll question that we asked, and a lot of people have submitted answers already, and here are your four choices. A, optimistic. President Trump is 100% on the right track, and this Trump slump is temporary. B, hopeful. Give it time. This might be what's needed to get to better days. C, skeptical. He's already doing more damage than is necessary, and this isn't what he promised. D, pessimistic. We're toast. The only question is how long it'll take a new president to fix the Trump slump. And reading through all of the many email responses that have come in already is not encouraging. But you can send us your answer, and maybe you're one of those that says, hey, this might work. Give it a chance. Radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Or just send us a text message. You can always do that on the text line here. You can reach the show anytime at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Send us a text message that way, or use the Civic Media app. Or head on to our Facebook or YouTube pages and comment that way. Alicia writes in right away, just D and an exclamation point. And yeah, a lot of our comments coming in by email have simply said that as well. Coming up on the program, we will have Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us. And she doesn't know this yet. I've got to send a note over to her. But I just stumbled upon an Associated Press article this morning about one way to address the shortage of healthcare workers, friendly nurses that can answer your questions, except they're not real. Not the questions, the nurses. We're going to talk about AI and answering healthcare questions and whether that is a good idea or not. So that'll be coming up. And then in our second hour, Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area and a political editor for Civic Media will join us about his new column that says in so many words, we are the heroes we've been waiting for. National Democrats are in disarray, to quote the cliche. And as a result, if Wisconsin voters are going to take the state in a better direction, it's up to them come April 1st in this election for state Supreme Court to send a message to Elon Musk and to his little buddy Donald Trump about the things that they're doing. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be here to tell us about a forecast that, again, continues the seasonal roller coaster. I believe they hit 80 in La Crosse on Friday, And now we're talking about some places getting wet, heavy snow on Wednesday. And the temperatures this hour reflect a little unusual trend where the colder temps are in the southern part of the state. It's 33 here on Lake Wissota, 30 in Hayward, 35 in Amory. Wausau's at 27, Rapids 28, La Crosse is at 30, Green Bay's at 26, Madison 27, Milwaukee's down to 19. It's 22 at Radio Park in Racine. It is 10 degrees down there in Burlington, Wisconsin. And the warm spot is over near Hudson. Osceola reporting 35 degrees. So we now head to the Antarctic Circle, the southern part of the state, where we bring in one Greg Bach from chilly Racine this morning. Mr. Bach, good morning.
I'm so cold. This isn't fair.
Yes.
This is not Wisconsin weather, in my opinion. People are like, well, it's Wisconsin. No, this is mean. This is mean. This is mean. This is different. This is like, oh, wow, 65 degrees on Saturday. Okay, cool. 3 inches of snow on Sunday. And now it's like,
yeah,
deep freeze on my car.
Mm-hmm. You can't even know what to plan for,
yeah,
at this point. You know, you have to have everything ready. We were away for the weekend and put three different kinds of jackets. There was, yeah, the winter one, the spring one, and a rain jacket, you know, because you just didn't know what you were going to face. And the same goes with the kids at the bus stop. You have to have everything. Everything's out right now. Winter coat this morning, you know, you had, you know, probably just a light jacket on Friday. Just got to be ready for it all.
Just wear snow pants and a big down parka till May.
That's right. Tony says it best up in Ashland on YouTube. This is why we wear layers.
Look at me. It's true. Made of layers. It's still cold.
Tony also writes in, all the cool kids comment on YouTube, and Alicia responds, dang right we do, Tony. So there you go. You can catch us on Facebook and comment there. So you probably work throughout the weekend because that's what you do. That's the way of your people.
That's
the
way.
You work too hard all weekend long.
Yeah, Pat, it was a long weekend. I got a lot done, tired.
Yeah. We like I said, we were away for the weekend. We went to the Twin Cities, kind of belated dinners for Sherry's birthday with some friends and with some family. And so two really good restaurant meals. And, I mean, they were great meals. Mm-hmm. And I'm not – it's not a real complaint, but it is.
Okay.
But I mean, it's what justifies the prices at these restaurants. The portion sizes are insane. I mean, at one restaurant, the steak that Sherry got was delicious, but it also closely resembled a brick, is how big a cut they now give you at some restaurants. And, you know, I ordered something that also would easily be three meals. And yeah, I know part of that is, oh, listen to the old guy talking about, oh, I can only eat so much. And I think I'm on steady ground here when I say, no, I've noticed portion sizes, and it's like, oh, this is why you're charging, you know, $35 for this, because there's three meals in here.
I'm sorry. We need to have a serious talk, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Midwesterners. I know we are
hungry.
We're a hungry people.
Hardy.
We are a hardy people. We are sturdy people in our frames. But we need to let go of the notion that we're all farmers getting up in the morning and having to burn yes, 2,000 calories a
yes,
day.
Yes, right.
We're not. We need to acquaint ourselves with smaller portion sizes, allow ourselves to feel full, and then eat again. Not this, I'm going out, I'm going to stuff myself until I can't feel feelings anymore, and then we'll see what happens next.
Maybe that's it. We're just trying to eat our feelings, you know, till all of that goes away. But no, you're right. This isn't, you know, this isn't lumber camp.
Yeah.
You know, we're not eating, you know, an entire plate of flapjacks because we're going to be cutting down 100 trees today.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I'm sitting at this keyboard and doing the work. But this is not work that takes, like you said, a 2,000-calorie breakfast.
Correct.
Or a dinner, for that matter. Still, again, delicious.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I love a good meal, but it's always awkward when you ask for that box or the doggy bag or whatever.
Yeah.
And they kind of look at you and they're like, no, seriously, I ate a lot. It doesn't look like I even put a dent in this thing.
You know, honestly, one thing I used to do, and I'd like to get back to it, and it's a great suggestion. I've heard it from other people. But if you know the food you're going to get is going to be a lot, or you know that you do not want to finish your meal, simply when you get your meal, be like, may I also get a to-go box? I'm going to take half this home tonight. And that way you kind of set your goals and, you know, what you're doing and whatnot. But, yeah, there's nothing wrong with – especially – and also, like you said, you're going to get two meals out of it after that.
Yeah, easily. The other option, and again, it's kind of an age thing. You're almost embarrassed to do it. But Sherry and I now know there are a couple of different dishes where it's like we have a favorite burger at a certain place, and we just know we're ordering one and we're cutting it in half.
That's great.
And again, it used to be like, oh, look at that grandma and grandpa cutting their portion in half. Well, it also, back when grandma and grandpa were doing that, you know, the burger at best was like an eighth of a pound.
Yeah.
And now it's like a 2-pound burger or something like that.
Unless you go to a fast food joint and they're shrinking their burgers. So
yes. Weird. Yeah, I know. I'm guessing that working as hard as you were, you probably didn't catch any of the college basketball tournament bracket stuff from yesterday.
I hate to tell you this, Pat, that even if I wasn't working, I would have missed it anyways. unless Wisconsin's on the TV where we're at, I'll watch it if it's there. But like, I try, and I'm just like, I don't get any of this.
The only one I turn on intentionally would have been yesterday with the Badgers in the Big Ten Tournament Championship game. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this so I kind of sound like I almost know what I'm talking about heading into the NCAA tournament. And, of course, you know, I did catch little parts of their games on Thursday, Friday, where they were like splashing in three-pointers like it was no effort whatsoever. They were like setting a record for three-pointers. Well, then Sunday, the whole game just sounds like this. Clang, 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 clang. And it gets me on my soapbox again about how much I hate three-point shots.
Really?
You know, 'cause to me, it's like basketball. You go to the basket and you put the ball in the basket that way. But this is a carnival game when you just you throw up 20 to 30 shots from half court. You know, that just doesn't strike me as... Okay, Grandpa's done.
No.
I
mean,
Badgers.
That's such an interesting way to look at it, too. I've never thought of it that way, of the idea of just like, of three-pointers being guarded.
Well,
here's your teddy bear.
And I get why they had to do it yesterday, because they were playing Michigan. And Michigan's got two guys, at least, who are 7 feet tall. So you're not going to get above them with a simple little jump shot. So, you got to throw it in from far away. But the Badgers had gone cold by that point, and they lost to Michigan in the Big Ten tournament final, 59-53. Still not bad for a team. They were a 5 seed heading into the tournament. And let's not forget, at the start of the year, they were picked to finish 12th in the Big Ten conference. Nobody thought that they were this good. And instead, they put out the brackets late yesterday, and the Badgers are a 3 seed heading into the NCAA tournament. They will be playing on Thursday in the first round against Montana, and that game will be in Denver in the NCAAs.
And forgive the question real quick. Is it single elimination if they lose?
Yes, it is now from here on in. Yep. Marquette, they are a 7 seed. They will be playing Friday in Cleveland against 10 seed New Mexico. By the way, there will be games in Milwaukee, first and second round games in Milwaukee this weekend as part of the tournament as well. And the Bucks lost to Oklahoma City. They've now lost 4 of their last 6. They've got a big, long Western road trip coming up starting tomorrow in Golden State. We'll talk about a little bit of news coming up next. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. More Trump administration mass layoffs at CISA have experts raising concerns over U.S. readiness for cyber attacks on election infrastructure and federal agency networks. An additional 100 in-house and contracted cyber specialists were reportedly terminated in March. The terminations raised the number of layoffs at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency to an estimated 300, though new CISA leadership has denied recent layoffs. As we reported in February, a team assisting state election officials in improving and hardening election systems was laid off. VoteBeat reported March 11th that CISA's new leadership informed state election officials that it had suspended operations and funding for the Election Infrastructure Information Sharing and Analysis Center. In addition, a McCarthy-like effort is underway to purge CISA staffers who ran 2020 efforts to combat foreign and domestic disinformation in social media, some concocted by the Trump campaign and its allies. Reports in cybersecurity journals say that the latest layoffs involve so-called red teams, which pressure test the security of government networks. CBS News quoted one cybersecurity expert let go in February as saying about U.S. networks, "We're being targeted daily, hourly, and every single minute." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Chances are, 'cause I wear a silly grin the moment you come into view.
So back in 1958, Johnny Mathis was a big deal. Such a big deal that on this day in 1958, Johnny Mathis released the very first Greatest Hits album, setting a trend that will stick around forever. And here's something about the popularity of this guy back then. That Greatest Hits album was on the charts for 490 non-consecutive weeks over a 10-year period, a record that stood for 15 years till Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon came around.
Mm.
And you know what they say, you know, if you play the Johnny Mathis Greatest Hits compilation, if you start it at the beginning of The Wizard of Oz,
yeah,
you know.
Well, actually, what I do now is I play the beginning of the Greatest Hits of Johnny Mathis, and then I play Dark Side of the Moon at the same time, and it is terrible.
Completely unlistenable.
Yeah.
I mentioned all the basketball going on. There's still a little hockey here. The Badger women's hockey team still top-ranked in the country. They are the number one seed in the NCAA tournament, successful over the weekend, and have made it to the Final Four. So they will go in the national semifinal in the Twin Cities Friday evening against the host team, the Minnesota Golden Gophers. So good luck to them. And yeah, as far as the Bucks starting that Western road trip, Golden State tomorrow, Thursday in L.A. against the Lakers, Saturday in Sacramento, next Monday in Phoenix, next Wednesday in Denver. They're not back home until Friday of next week against the Knicks. And so if the... I heard Doc Rivers, I heard the soundbite last hour listening to the Midwest Farm Report during the sports break. And once again, Doc Rivers sounding like he does about this time of year, saying, our guys just aren't very good. You know, they just don't play really well. And Doc Rivers does not strike me as the ultimate motivational speaker in this case. But it is what it is when you're losing this many games, four out of their last six. Let's see. Tim Walz is coming to Eau Claire tomorrow. He's going to be making a stop as part of a People versus Musk grassroots town hall event. He's doing this in Derek Van Orden's district because Derek Van Orden and other Republican members of Congress have been told, you don't have to have town halls. You don't have to listen to the people upset about all the firings and all of the, you know, the cuts that have been made to vital programs. It'll be fine. And Derek Van Orden's going right along with it because I saw a clip of him on Eau Claire TV on Friday. And once again, what Derek Van Orden does best is photo ops for local media who, you know, will occasionally ask a tough question or two. And in this case, he was asked about workers at the Toma VA Medical Center being fired. There were six workers that were fired there. And Van Orden was asked by a reporter about his thoughts, and including a federal judge's order to have some of those workers reinstated. And I'm not going to subject you to the soundbite from Derek Van Orden. I'm just going to read it here because the congressman was asked about it, and he maintained that there is still no impact to health care for veterans from these firings. And so here's this quote. He says, "I spoke to Karen, who runs the Toma facility, 2 weeks ago. And right now, to the best of her knowledge, there is zero degradation to veterans' health care. So what I need you to do," he said to the reporter or reporters, "what I need you to do is stop fear-mongering. Stop fear-mongering with our elderly. Stop fear-mongering with our hungry children. Stop fear-mongering with our veterans. The Democrat Party lied to the entire American population 2 years ago about cuts, and they're doing the same thing again, so knock it off." This is what your congressman is doing in the 3rd Congressional District, Western and Central Wisconsin. The word you're looking for is gaslighting. Your congressman's gaslighting you and then not holding any town halls about it. And here's his quote about why he's not holding town halls. He talks about the possibility of paid agitators coming to these meetings, according to the WEAU report. He says, quote, "The reason we have town halls is so constituents can speak directly to their representative and have a meaningful conversation. You can't do that if people are just screaming at each other. That is not an organic constituent result or revolt. What it is a group of George Soros-funded agitators that have nothing to offer but angst. Just like your previous question, that's a terrible question." Ladies and gentlemen, Derek Van Orden. That's just straight up gaslighting.
I was going to say, I want to commend you on your Derek Van Orden impression of starting from the ground level and just slowly working your way up Mount Angry to the point where you're probably shaking a finger at a young reporter.
I mean, he wasn't wagging his finger at this point, but it's, you know, it's what he does verbally. Karen on Facebook has 3 facepalm emojis. Unreal. I wonder why they're screaming, Karen writes. And that's the whole point, is you now have a congressman in denial. Maybe not to himself. Maybe, again, just in denial to his constituents that there's no impact of these firings. There's no impact on children. There's no impact on our veterans. And to just knock it off. And I wonder how all these constituents feel that their congressman is referring to them as a group of George Soros-funded agitators. The funny thing is, and I am 100% confident in this, that Derek Van Orden could not pick George Soros out of a lineup. If the police lineup were George Soros and Abraham Lincoln, he still would have a difficult time picking out George Soros. It's just a convenient name to drop.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's sure it's having an impact on a few folks, but you know who's helping it have less of one? Elon Musk.
Yeah.
You know, the guy who actually does have the reins of power right now, the guy who actually is firing veterans and leading to degradation of healthcare and harm for children and harm to the economy, big harm to the economy. That's your congressman, Western and Central Wisconsin. No wonder there's one announced candidate and another one that's going to announce really soon, most likely. Dr. Kristen Lyerly slated to come up next. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network on this Monday morning, March 17th, complete with green shirt. I really found a green shirt for St. Patrick's Day. It's a first. It's a St. Patrick's Day miracle.
Chances are you think my heart your valentine. In the magic of moonlight.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Big announcements from the Environmental Protection Agency that could impact production agriculture. I'm PM Yaki, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. The words came from the EPA Administrator, Lee Zeldin. He says it is the largest announcement they've made as far as deregulatory action in U.S. history.
EPA will be reconsidering many suffocating rules that restrict nearly every sector of our economy and cost Americans trillions of dollars. Today, the Green New Scam ends as the EPA does its part to usher in the golden age of American success. Our actions will lower the cost of living by making it more affordable to purchase a car, heat your home, and operate a business. Jobs will be created, especially in the U.S. auto industry, and our nation will become stronger for it.
That's the administrator for the Environmental Protection Agency, Lee Zeldin. The 31 regulatory changes he announced include power plant emission standards and limits, greenhouse gas reporting requirements, and emission regulations for cars and trucks. The EPA has also announced that the environmental justice programs will come to an end. The agency had already let 170 environmental justice staff leave. Markets in overnight electronic trade as we get started on a Monday. Grain trade looks all right. Dairy a little soft. I've got numbers next.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 63 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for April 1st through the 3rd at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit wisconsinpublicservice.com.
With the push of a button, you could save lives and the livelihood of others in your area. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on the sky this season. You can help by taking real-time weather observations on your phone and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Volunteer weather observers play an important role in tracking and relaying vital weather information. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
In overnight electronic trade this morning, December new crop corns 2.5 cents higher at 454. November beans up a penny at 1019. July wheat's a dime stronger, 583. Friday barrel cheese dropped 4 cents to 169. 40-pound block cheese was down 6 1/4, 169 1/4, while double A butter gained 0.25 cent to 234 1/4 per pound. The April Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 3 right now, 1753. I'm PM Yankee.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and warmer today. We'll get to around 54 this afternoon. The wind will be a little breezy this morning, but it should die down by this afternoon. Tonight, 27. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 47 with snow in the afternoon. And again tomorrow night, there could be several inches by the time it winds down on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong, just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. We've got a whole show dedicated to the holiday. We're going to be talking about Irish heritage. We've got live Irish music. We'll explain what the heck curling is. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
As the son of a sailor, I went out on the sea for adventure.
Haven't had an excuse to play Jimmy Buffett in a while, so that works for me. Thing I like this song in part because it explains sometimes people see on my social media site, what do you mean Southeast of Disorder? And it would be the second verse of son of a sailor, where it says, away in the near future, Southeast of Disorder, you can shake the hand of a mango man as he greets you at the border. Folks, get out and travel. Sometimes, even if it's just to northern Minnesota, get out of your bubble, see the world, and you could turn out to be as enlightened as a Jimmy Buffett or a Kristen Lierley.
Oh.
The good doctor is here this morning. She's been working hard all weekend and is here to answer some questions for us. Dr. Lierley, how are you?
Good morning. You know, if you're going to come to northern Minnesota, do it in the summer.
What? What? That's outrageous.
Unless you like, you know, the ice fishing is good.
Pass.
That's good.
Yeah, no.
I haven't. I feel like I need to do that, though, at least once in my life. Like, have that grumpy old man experience.
You've never ice fished? That's so
weird.
You
get the grumpy old man experience every Monday morning.
That's true. Don't talk about Greg like that. That's not
nice.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to ask you a healthcare industry question in a sec here, and I didn't get a chance to send you this yet, but I do see Alicia has just put up on Facebook. Derek Van Orden can shut up. Just this weekend, a veteran sought out help from other veterans on a Facebook page because the Veterans Crisis Line put him on hold. These firings are absolutely harming people.
Yeah, we lose 17 a day.
Yeah, and you'd think that there'd be some kind of sense of urgency from a guy who loves to talk about being a Navy SEAL. But no, we mm-hmm. do not get that from him. So here was the thing I was looking at this morning and wanted to ask you about. It's an Associated Press story about taking care of the shortage of workers in healthcare. And it starts out like this. The next time you're due for a medical exam, you may get a call from someone like Anna, a friendly voice that can help you prepare for your appointment and answer any pressing questions you might have. With her calm, warm demeanor, Anna has been trained to put patients at ease, like many nurses across the U.S. But she's also available, unlike most of those nurses, to chat to you in Hindi or Haitian Creole or any other language because Anna isn't human, but an AI program created by Hippocratic AI, one of a number of new companies offering ways to automate time-consuming tasks performed by nurses and medical assistants. It's the most visible sign of AI inroads into healthcare, where hospitals are using sophisticated computer programs to monitor patients' vital signs, flag emergency situations, and trigger step-by-step action plans for healthcare. Is this a net positive, or is this thing got double-edged sword written all over it?
We are not going back to a time where you walk into your doctor's office, there's a shingle outside, and the receptionist is cheerful, and you sit in the waiting room, and good old Doc Olson comes out and brings you back to the, like, all of that romantic stuff that we have about healthcare, mm-hmm. how the way it used to be, that's gone. If we are going to continue to move forward, if we're going to fix our healthcare system, it's going to be through innovation. I don't know about this. I think anytime you've got something drastic like this, we'll have to see how people respond. It sounds reasonable, and it's true. These are mundane tasks. You know, some of the things, the questions that we ask are things that they have to be asked, but it just takes time. And most of the time, it's like a review of systems is what we call it. Most of those answers are no, but sometimes those answers are yes. And if we don't ask that specific question, then we don't get that answer that leads us down the path that helps us take care of you. So I get it. I understand. And I think that we are on the precipice of something really big with healthcare. I don't know if we have the political courage as a country to to do it efficiently and well, especially right now?
Well, yes, to do it efficiently and well, because I have seen, you know, healthcare systems around this country take shortcuts, you know, because they some places lose sight of whether you're, as the phrase goes, margin driven or mission driven. Mm-hmm. And if you're driven more by your profit margin than your mission, you're going to take shortcuts. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I mean, this is a tale that could be told about so many other industries, is automate with care, and understand that there are going to be mistakes along the way, which you have less room for error in healthcare than almost any other industry. So you'd better, test the heck out of it and understand where the value is. The value is in, like, all these forms. And, I've been going to the same healthcare system for 30 years, and I still get this form where it's like, why am I filling out this form again? Yeah. I have filled out this form so many times, and I'm just going to go, no, 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 as you go down. But maybe it is the fact that a voice is saying, how about this? How about this? That maybe you go, oh, yeah, that's right. This has changed since the last time I was in. So there's a right way to do it. I just, very concerned about the shortcut way of doing it.
You know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of Rosie the Maid and the Jetsons. Like, most of the time she got it right. Sometimes she got it wrong, and when it was wrong, it was pretty bad.
Sometimes it's nice to be reminded that you're actually up there in age. You're right up there. You're not at my level, but you're not that terribly far away that you can bring up Rosie from the Jetsons. That makes me feel good. Thank you for that.
Jetson.
We had a newsletter question last week about book clubs, and I wanted to share a couple answers there, and then I wanted to hear your thoughts on it. So we just asked an open-ended question last week. What are your thoughts on book clubs? Love them, hate them, whatever. So from one who her handle was Golf Granny, she said, I don't want to read a book that someone else chooses for me. I don't need to discuss a book with someone else. I think it would be hard for me to get a group to read a book of my choosing. I will just enjoy the books I want to read and leave the book clubs to others.
Okay. Meanwhile,
Karen in Vilas County says, I belong to the Phelps Library Book Club and enjoy the experience. We all participate in choosing the books to read. I've read books that I would either have not found on my own or have not chosen on my own, and I'm richer in knowledge for that. And then she provided an interesting recommendation for a book or two. And then, there were just more after that, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on whether, because again, you're a mom of four, you're a busy doctor, you've been politically active, but do you have book club experience as well?
What's a book? I've never been part of a book club. We do journal clubs in medicine, especially in training, where we'll read the same medical article and talk over it. So it's kind of the same thing, but really nerdy.
Yeah, no, Greg's not buying it.
That sounds like one of the worst things I've ever heard. Hey, guys, come bring your homework and let's do it together.
Different points of view, things like that. Sure.
That's what a book club is about, isn't it? It's not about the book. It's about the social interaction.
Yeah. Well, this was all sparked by having Laura Bird on 2 weeks ago, where she talked about, how to find a good book club, or, you can start one of your own. Here are the things to keep in mind, because they're not all the same. So you can make it however you want to make it.
I kind of get where the golf granny was coming from, though, because the books I read are probably not books that other people want to read.
Spicy novels.
I was going to say, there's probably, laws against that.
I'm reading a book about the history of vaccines in the United States right now. Like, hey, anybody want to join me?
there's a guy, Robert, who I'd like to have join your club, if you don't mind. I got to get his number, but I'll work on that for you. So we appreciate everybody who sent in their answers on that, because I don't get nearly enough time to do that. I think the last one that I read for fun prior to very recently was one by Bill Bright. Bill Bryson's one of my favorite authors. I have not yet read all of his stuff, but he did one a few years back called America 1927. And it was crazy how many things, how many unique things happened in America that year. It was the year of the 27 Yankees, and radio broadcasting was coming into its own, and you know, the Lindbergh flight and all the other people and how that was covered. So this Karen from Vilas County suggested one called West with Giraffes by Linda Rutledge. It's the story of two giraffes being transported across America during the Depression. And it, and the stir that it created as these unique beasts showed up in small towns all along, you know, the lines across America here, the roads across America, but also changed lives because of the events that took place along the way.
I can just imagine Rob on Highway 29 right now going,
Tigers in Tigerton. Yes. What a unique sequel that would be. Let's see. Oh, Tony's a Bill Bryson fan and says The Body by Bill Bryson was fantastic. Yes. A Short History of Nearly Everything by Bill Bryson. And mostly he does. He first got his start with travel books, traveling all these different places. The one that he writes about Australia is just a hoot. You know, the whole finding these unique creatures and conditions that, you know, you are not expecting, because again, it's not in your wheelhouse. So I really appreciated that. So that was more book chat than I ever thought that I'd get into here, but it was books or brackets today. And I, again, much like Greg, I did not see you actually sitting glued to your TV, looking at the brackets as they came out to see where the Badgers and Marquette would be.
I did watch the game yesterday.
You did?
I watched the Badger game. Yes. Yeah. Well, I love college basketball. I just don't have time because it's time consuming. Yeah. And we don't have cable at my house, so I only watch it when I'm at the hotel.
We know you as a cheerleader. Where did you? I know you get asked this because you're on the tall side. Did you play?
Oh gosh, no. I'm very clumsy.
Thanks, doctor.
Give me another scalpel, please. Yeah. I dropped the last one. I'm so sorry.
Just tape it with my fingers and let's see what happens. Mm-hmm.
I am not athletic, but I am a great athletic supporter. When I was in college, we almost went to... What?
Nothing.
Nothing. Keep talking.
Moving on.
When I was in college, we were like a hair away from going to the Final Four. We actually, the Minnesota Gophers, should have won the NCAA tournaments that year. It was, 89.
Okay.
89-90.
Mm-hmm. You should have, but you didn't. Or was there like a conspiracy or something?
Because we played Georgia Tech, and the Gophers had been flawless. They didn't ever foul. They were like amazing, and Georgia Tech had the ACC refs, and the refs called everything on the go. It's legit. They actually ended up changing the rules, and they'll no longer allow a full. What am I trying to say? Ref corps from that division.
Okay.
Still there.
Look at that. It's still sitting with her to this day, folks. Yep. Still sitting there.
Yep.
So the Badgers will be playing Thursday against Montana in Denver. Badgers, a 3 seed. That's pretty cool. Marquette, a 7 seed, will be playing on Friday in Cleveland against 10 seed New Mexico. And again, I'll watch. But have you ever filled out brackets, you know, at the workplace at all, just to see if you'd win? I did win one office bracket pool once. Of course, it was a total lucky guess thing.
No, I was thinking about it last night, but I just don't know enough. Like, you have to really be paying attention. In college, yes. When they were listing the brackets, we'd be like, that's not a 5. They should be a 4. Like, super into it, but I don't have time.
But right the now. Whole thing is, I mean, it is practically impossible to have a perfect bracket. The odds are a number that I can't even fathom. So if nobody can get a perfect bracket, well, then it's okay that you don't have to know much about it, because nobody's going to get them all right. Everybody's going to get something wrong. So go ahead and give it your best shot.
Yeah, but you kind of want to know a little bit. You know, you don't want to just be stumbling.
I used to think that until the past couple of years or so, that now, two different times, a 16 seed has beaten a 1 seed in the first round. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, so now literally anything can happen in these things. So we'll fill something out eventually. Although I'd rather fill out, fun ones like, brackets for snack foods, or something like that.
Oh, let's do that.
We'll have today's history lesson coming up after this. You're up north.
But a son of a son, son of a son, son of a son.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Musk is so arrogant that he is even intervening right here in the state of Wisconsin.
Republican Rep. Brian Stile said in a statement that Sanders was on a fear-mongering tour. Maybe you should be afraid when billionaires can buy the presidency, when billionaires can buy elections. I think that's a little scary. And
I think so.
We, the people, should do something about it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The presenting sponsor of North News Radio is now... Tequila was a song by the Champs that hit number one on this date in 1958, which is interesting because we were just talking about 1958 and how this is also when Johnny Mathis released his greatest hits album. So tequila was definitely the antidote to listening to too much Johnny Mathis. Welcome to today's history lesson for this St. Patty's Day, March 17th, and hanging out in her holiday green would be Selena Heller, Up North News reporter. At least, yes. Is that a St. Patrick's Day shirt or just a green one?
It is, of course. You always have to. My mom would. You have to wear green on St. Patrick's Day if you're Irish. So
not Irish. Isn't that, everybody Irish on St. Patrick's Day?
Technically.
Yeah.
So the Heller family is Irish?
Yes, my mom's side.
Okay. All right. Not a bit of Irish over here.
No.
Patrick was just a name they plucked out of the thin air. Yep. Doctor?
Everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
Okay, that works. All right. Let's see. Let's continue on with our history lesson and note the birthday of Nat King Cole 106 years ago today. That is some serious silk right there.
That voice.
Just so nice. He was born Nathaniel Adams Cole in Montgomery, Alabama. And in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, he put around 100 songs on the pop charts of that day. Listen to this voice.
And he was originally a drummer, like...
Yeah.
Oh, no, piano player. I'm sorry. He's a piano player. Why am I thinking he was a drummer? I'm thinking Karen Carpenter. Easy to mix up. Sorry.
Here's another birthday. Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins is 58 years old today.
Well, that's an interesting blend right there.
He was. That's called a remix, Doctor.
Okay.
Actor Rob Lowe is 61 years old today. Up until this year, if you'd I think we listed Hozier's birthday, Andrew Hozier Byrne. Now he just goes by Hozier. I would have said, okay, I think maybe I've heard of him. But now because of this song, I hear him all the time. I feel like this song is played every 5 minutes on the radio this year.
It's a really good song. He performed it is, Saturday Night Live.
Had I done this correctly, I would have queued it up to the chorus. Because it takes too long to get there. But he'll tell you that he takes his whiskey neat, his coffee black, and his bed at three. You're too sweet for me. You're too sweet for me. And then he sings it 14 more times during the song.
That's a lovely rendition. Everywhere.
Pat, have you ever thought about doing karaoke? Karaoke poem style?
Karaoke poetry slam?
Yeah.
Like a beat poet over here. Yeah. Monday morning, too early for this.
Now the chorus isn't coming. We'll just let it go. We've lost the moment. Jimmy Buffett released his 8th studio album this day in 1978. The album was Son of a Sailor. We played the title track a little bit ago. It also had this little ditty every Buffett fan knows. Drinking lots of carrot juice, soaking up the rays. No, the Ode to Cheeseburgers came out this week in 1978. On this day in 1984, the Van Halen album 1984 peaked on the album chart at number 2.
Everybody knows how to play this on the piano.
And Greg, of course, got the air drums ready to go. So 1984 was stuck on the album chart at number 2. Any guess, Kristen or Selena, what the number 1 album was that it just couldn't overtake back in 1984? Thriller. That's right.
Oh, nice.
Yep. And at that point, Thriller had already been on top of the charts for 31 weeks or something like that. Eddie Van Halen, though, of Van Halen, he was there. He performed the guitar solo on Beat It. So...
For free.
He just walked in the studio, unleashed this beast and said, you're welcome. Bye.
Big controversy was that I guess Van Halen had this thing like you couldn't do any other projects, period. It was Van Halen or nothing. And Eddie was like, when you get a call from Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones, he like walked in, he did it. He's like, all right, just don't tell anybody. And I don't want to be paid. Just. And then the band found out and they were really upset.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then they got over it because David Lee Roth was like, I'm just going to leave and be a solo artist. And who was that again? No one knows.
On the national day calendar today, this is National Chocolate Week. This is Anonymous Giving Week. So, you know, anonymously give somebody
check your front
some chocolate.
Doors, everyone. You're welcome. Yeah.
This is Clean Out Your Closets Week.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe next week.
You know what? That's going to happen this week now.
School Libraries and Media Centers Day. It is, of course, St. Patrick's Day, so it's corned beef and cabbage. Mm-hmm. Anybody a fan of that?
Sure. I make it every year.
Do you make it every year?
Okay. I make it every year.
Okay. And Campfire Girls Day. I'd forgotten all about Campfire Girls, which is now, it's now Campfire. It's open to boys and girls. But, you know, the Girl Scouts, everybody hears about them thanks to those Thin Mints. That's what killed the Campfire Girls.
I just bought some cookies this weekend.
I resisted the temptation this time when I walked out of the grocery store. But can I be that strong all the way through Girl Scout cookie season?
No, I probably can't.
I just needed to make more room in my freezer for the palette of Thin Mints that I'll be getting and Samoas. Back with the second hour of Up North News Radio.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a person with MS and autism and is an advocate for Medicare and Medicaid will join us. Going to be a very interesting conversation. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. From Missouri to Mississippi, a deadly weekend across the southern part of the country. ABC Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z has more on what happened.
At least 40 people killed from the system that brought wind-driven fires, dust storms, and dozens of twisters.
That's a tornado.
12 people killed in tornadoes in Missouri alone. 3 people were killed in hard-hit Tylertown, Mississippi. An EF2 tornado, winds up to 111 miles per hour.
Millions of people are in the path of more potentially dangerous weather as that same storm system moves further east. The Kremlin confirms President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin will talk this week, tomorrow probably, but Russian officials won't say what the discussions will be about. The president says they'll be talking about ending the war in Ukraine. More than 50 people were killed in a nightclub fire in North Macedonia over the weekend. Auburn, the top overall seed in the NCAA men's basketball tourney. UCLA, the number one seed for the women. Play begins this week. This is ABC News.